The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
At the club.
I'm thick around the top there.
He has a tight little butt.
Like they just have the penis.
They'll still be fine, but especially with the
ick. Excuse me.
Oh my God. Whoop. Are you okay?
Hell no.
I would like to know things.
All right, 606. This be the Fan.
An ode to Souk on his final day of the year.
Yes, an ode to you.
Tip of the cap to me and my...
This is it.
...mediocrity.
Now, how do you feel about your performance in 2018? Let's have a performance review.
Look, I give a performance review every year, as we all do to the boss, and I'll tell you, every year, my marks are stellar. Let me tell you what. Much like Oregon, I do internal investigations all the time, and I am always pleased at what I find. 100% of the time. Thumbs up.
Great. Another great year for you.
Another great year. I think this is 15?
15 what?
15 years.
Here?
I'm in my 15th year, I believe.
Man.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
You are so old.
I've never had a real job.
Yeah, if you don't consider this a real job, I never have either.
No. I mean, I went...
Never worked behind the desk?
No. But I did, like, in between attempting to play football and this, I guess I...
What'd you do?
I dabbled in some things.
What'd you do?
I don't even know those days. I was a personal trainer for a little bit.
Oh.
I was an EMT for like a month.
Wow.
But that was before football. What else? I worked at...
Still no desks. Personal trainer, EMT.
Still no desks. I worked at a grocery store for...
I remember that story.
3-4 months.
I do remember that.
I lied to get my job, and in no way was I qualified for the position that I had. And the only reason I was not fired is because the guy that found out about it had a massive drug problem, and I agreed to not rat him out if he didn't rat me out.
It sounds like a good deal.
It was a good deal. I worked at a Chevron for about 4 hours, got fired from that.
Me.
Yeah, you were eating the beef jerky or something.
And looking at porn. That happened.
I thought that was before, like...
Yeah, that was before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking
at... We're not talking in between football and this.
In between football and this, I did the personal training thing. I worked at a grocery store and what? Delivered some newspapers for a while. But again, that was just, you know, something to do.
Cool.
To make a little money.
And now here you are.
I was applying at grad schools, and then this happened.
2003?
Something like that, yeah. 2003, 2004.
Wow.
Yeah, from grad school to this. Clearly made the wrong choice.
Where did you go wrong?
I think not going to grad school. I think that's kind of what derailed
me. No, I think not going to UCLA is where you went wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you picked BYU over UCLA.
Yeah, if you want to go back to where I went wrong, go
that's
back to like
stupid.
17-year-old me when I made that decision. Los Angeles, Provo, and yet somehow I went with Provo. Could have gone to Tempe? No. Went to Provo. Could have gone to Seattle? No. Provo. Eugene? No. Provo. Really, really good move on my part. Look, think about the dumb decisions you made when you were 17. Like, what's the dumbest thing you've ever... Like, what's the... Looking back, what's the dumbest choice you've ever made?
I have no idea.
Mine may be BYU, but... I'm sure there's others that rival as far as dumb decisions.
Like major decisions?
I'm just saying, what's the dumbest decision you've ever made? Just off the top of your head. Something you look back on and like, what are you, 43?
43.
What would 43-year-old Rop look back on and be like, 43-year-old Rop would never make that choice?
I don't know. I got to think about it.
Because 39-year-old me wishes he could go back and punch 17-year-old me in the face and be like, you're not going to GD, Utah.
Hey, let's talk about Kevin Hart.
Speaking of bad decisions.
Well, okay, this is what I want to bring up about this. Now, Kevin Hart is a comedian. And he, you know, the Oscars say, hey, we want you to come host the Oscars because nobody else wants to.
Yeah.
But Hart's a big name. I mean, that's a good get.
Yeah, Kevin Hart's a big star.
And then they go back and they sort of scour through his old material and they see that. Here's what he said. This is some of what he said. So
I remember one of the bits. I remember watching. This was on one of his stand-ups, like stand-up specials.
Yeah. One of the things is he was just not comfortable with gay people. In a 2010 stand-up special, Hart declared that as a heterosexual male, if I can prevent my son from being gay, I will.
Yeah.
That was 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And then the bit goes on. He talks about anytime he sees his son doing something that, like, could be conceived as being gay behavior, then he, like, yells at his son and is like, oh, stop it. There's a whole bit about him trying to prevent his son from being gay.
And he says, 2011, this is a tweet. He imagined breaking his daughter's dollhouse over his son's head if the boy played with it. And there's other stuff on here, but nothing like, I don't know. It's just kind of homophobic, you know?
Sure.
Like,
look, in today's,
it doesn't fly now.
No.
May have flown then.
But at the same time, it's not the worst thing that you've ever heard. It's by far not the most offensive stand-up you've ever heard.
Not at all. And that's what I wanted to bring up. It's like, man, I get that that's, you know, you can't say that now and, you know, these comedians are going to cross lines.
Yeah.
Probably more so than any other walk.
Well, I mean, that's their job, is to kind of push boundaries, right?
Yeah, and I just feel like, man, in today's day and age where you can, where there's tape or there's, you know, your tweets or your social media feeds keep everything.
Yeah.
Yet norms change, right? Like social norms change. At what point, like, is a person who said, when they were a kid, called someone the F word, you know, the anti-gay slur.
The right? Bundle of sticks.
Right.
By the way, guilty.
What is the statute of limitations on that? You know? It's like if somebody came back and, like, you get a big time job. You go to ESPN and you're going to be a color commentator on football games. And then some guy goes back and finds this somewhere in your life's works.
Sure.
Like, is that fair that you just get, that you get booted for that? I mean, what's the statute of limitations when it's so long that norms have changed and things have changed of what you can and can't say and what is acceptable and what isn't? What's fair?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I think it's fair to ask someone to deliver an apology, but Kevin Hart's point is he has apologized. He said he wouldn't do the joke anymore.
Yeah, he took it out of his act.
He took it out of his act. He said he understands it doesn't fly anymore. But the fact that you have to resign from the Oscars, I think this is why no one wants that job. I think this is another one of those things where someone's just like, look, this is not worth my time and my trouble. I'm a big star. I had something in my past. Wasn't particularly proud of it. Dealt with it. Apologized. Took it away from my act. And now you're going to drag it up again? Screw this. I don't need this crap. And look, I'm all for getting rid of negative stuff. But this stuff is ridiculous. This stuff has gone too far. Someone says, yeah, God forbid a comic make a joke. Why hasn't anyone gone after Jimmy Kimmel? He was on The Man Show. It was the sexist as hell. Exactly. It was. The Man Show.
And he hosted the Oscars.
Yeah, he hosted the Oscars. Did he have to apologize to women? I mean, The Man Show was filthy and dirty. It absolutely was misogynistic and sexist.
And he did refuse to apologize, but then because he said, I've already apologized. But then he later apologized and then just said, I'm stepping down. I don't want the job.
I don't want to do with this.
Yeah, he's like, screw you. I don't need this.
So they couldn't find someone to host it. They finally get Kevin Hart, and now this happens. Good luck finding someone else.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's interesting. Like, what can be used against you and to what degree?
Well, I think there's a
10 years or 15 years or 25 years down the road. You know what I mean?
I think there's a difference between making a joke and having it be a belief. I think there's a difference in that. I think there's a difference between being a comic and going on stage and joking and what Mel Gibson. I think what Mel Gibson did as a 45 or 50 or 55-year-old guy, I think it lets you know that Mel Gibson is anti-Semitic. And not just a little bit. Mel Gibson hates Jews.
You don't think at that time Kevin Hart was homophobic? I mean, it sounds like he was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know, it's so weird. It's like the one example that's a little bit more safe that falls into this is like what I'm trying to get at is like society changes.
Sure.
Confederate statues.
Yeah.
Right? Like this
Confederate
is,
flag.
Or the flag, whatever, Confederate anything. But these statues has become a big thing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now it's suddenly, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Because times have changed, norms have changed. That's weird to me. You know, when at one time it wasn't.
See, and I don't have a problem with norms changing.
Well, I'm not saying I do either. I'm just saying, like, what if you're going to live in both?
Yeah, it's dicey waters.
How do you? What comes back to bite? What can come back to bite you, and what shouldn't be able to come back to bite you?
See,
if you're going to live before the norm change and after the norm change.
Valid point.
That's what he's going through here, a little bit.
I do not pretend to have a steady enough hand to draw that line. And I think it is a line that swerves quite a bit. So while I do think that you need to be able to hold people accountable, I do think that we also need to be forgiving and understand that times do change, people evolve, and maybe cut some people some slack. And it's probably an individual thing, right? I mean, to say that you forgive Kevin Hart, but you don't forgive, I don't know, like, again, just off the top of my head, the Mel Gibson thing is the one that popped up. Or we talked about with Mark Wahlberg, right? Mark Wahlberg had two hate crimes when he was a youth. And how you decide who you want to forgive, I think that's a very individual sort of thing. And that's the beauty part of our country is we get to vote, right? If Mark Wahlberg makes a film and you think he's a racist bastard, then you don't go see it. Like if you think Kevin Hart is a homophobe, then again, you don't have to go do that. And so it's weird when we say society or the public forgives someone. That's the part that's weird because there is no society or public. It's just a group of individual people. And if enough of them forgive you, then you get your career back. And enough of them don't, then you don't. But like Matt Lauer?
That's also a fascinating thing. The court of public opinion.
Yes.
And when it does crucify you and when it doesn't.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Like with Matt Lauer, it'll never be okay. I don't want to see Matt Lauer on TV again. Matt Lauer's a rapist.
Well, his is pretty cut and dry, right?
Yeah. Like, that's not, like, a mistake. That's not a learned behavior. Matt Lauer, that's just who he was. Thanks, but no thanks. You're done. You know, Kevin Hart, I mean, I get it. Maybe he had some bad attitudes or bad view towards something, and I'd like to believe that hopefully he's learned from it, but oh, should he be allowed to host the Oscars or be forced to step down? Yeah, he should be allowed to host. This is much ado about not a whole lot of nothing.
Hey, let's talk about... Wait, what?
A whole lot of nothing.
Are we going to need to cut that out?
It's possible. I got caught in between saying
much
two
Much ado about
there.
A whole lot of nothing.
Let's try that on for size.
Yeah, I got caught in between saying two different things.
But
you know what? It was a different time. That was 2 minutes ago.
Yes, right.
I've learned. I've changed. I'm ready to apologize. I own my mistake, and I hope that I will be allowed to continue in the next segment.
Let's talk about white people no longer being cool.
Yeah, where were we?
Because they're not.
No, they're not. And for the first time, people don't want to be white again.
And I really want to know what TV show is coming back.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Will you tell me?
No.
Please, finally.
No, I
please.
Won't. This is a conversation that I've tried to have.
It is 6:18 on The Fan.
Results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Double Sun Power!
I think we're losing Suk.
I did slap myself there. Yawning.
This is much ado about not a whole lot of nothing.
Yes! That's even better than I thought.
Shock it up!
That is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, only like I can do it. This is much ado about not a whole lot of nothing.
God, you gave us gold right before you walk out the door.
I do it again when I'm half asleep. Yeah, I had to do the the slap. The
what's the matter with
the wake up? I'm
tired. You have 30 minutes left.
Tired.
In your whole year.
I'm hurting right
now. I want a crescendo.
Fighting on.
This is like the encore.
The what?
The encore. This is the encore.
You okay to get that
the
out?
The fans want more.
I'm trying.
They want your best.
I'm trying. I'm trying to bring the heat. I gave you that last segment.
That was fantastic.
The hell else do you want from me? This is much ado about not a whole lot of nothing. I did have this today. I want to throw this out there. Do you have anything in your life? We all hold things to different standards, right? Like, you expect your cell phone to work every time. Correct?
Yes.
Like, the moment your cell phone doesn't work at all,
it's a piece of ass.
You're like, this sucks. My service is terrible. I was talking with my buddy, and he dropped the phone dropped, right? The call dropped. And he calls me back like 2 seconds later, and he's livid. Not just with the phone, but the carrier. Everything sucks. The phone is awful.
That's right.
He can't handle it.
Horrible.
And there is something in my life that is a piece of technology that when it works, I am stunned. It is the exact opposite of this, and I realized today that it's the only thing in my life that I hold to this low of standard. And when it works the first time without any sort of issue, I am floored. Not just like happy, but I'm like, oh my God, this is working the first time around with no issue.
It's electronics?
It's electronics. There is a piece of technology, and I don't know why that this is held to such a low standard, because everything else, right? If you go to use the microwave and it doesn't work, you're like, what the hell? You don't accept that you have to microwave something 8 more times or anything. Like, if your alarm clock failed more than once, you'd be like, well, that's going in the trash. I need a new one. Although you just use your phone now. TV, cable, internet, all that stuff. We hold technology to such a high standard that if it fails at all, but this one thing, and I don't know if I'm the only one like this, and it's also the piece of technology that I replace far more than anything else. I can never fix it when it breaks. So you're like, whatever, I'll just buy a new one. It's going to be the same piece of crap as the last one I bought. And I want to know if I'm the only one or if you can figure out what this
is. I'm thinking, and I don't have it yet. Do you have it yet?
You have one.
Oh, I'm sure I do. Because, you know.
This is much ado about not a whole lot of nothing. Yeah, that's what this is. But it happened today. First time, clicked the button, it worked. And I was like, hey, look at that. I was surprised that it worked. Because normally there's at least some sort of thing I have to do with it. I've got to adjust something. I have to try it again. I have to click it again. No, this one worked first time.
Well, I'm drawing a blank.
The printer.
Ah, the printer.
My printer never works. Ever. I've never had one that I've liked. If you ask me what my favorite printer of the last 20 years are, I don't have an answer. They all suck. I've bought cheap printers. I've bought nice printers. They never work. The Wi-Fi on it never works. You always have to plug the cable back in. There's always a paper jam. I haven't printed anything in a week, and yet I'll go to print something and there's no ink.
And you just bought the cartridge.
You just bought the cartridge.
And ink is expensive as all hell.
It is the biggest piece of S in the history of mankind.
And when you work at a place that has printers, why would you own a printer? Because
you got to have stuff at home.
You got to have stuff at home. Like your kids.
I'm with him on
that. Your kids have school. They need to print something out.
That's true. We had a printer, and it worked fine. It was really small and cheap. But we ran out of ink once and went, we don't want to buy more ink.
And
we never bought another, and we never used the printer again.
Yeah. You're like, oh, the hell with it.
Okay, so I have a little info on this. Interesting you bring that up. You're so right about printers. We had one, and my wife is always griping about it. She has to deal with it more than I do.
Yes.
And she's like, can we get a printer that works? I'm like, babe, I just fixed it. Like, I bought a new cartridge, or it realigned, or...
You don't know what to do with it. You're like,
let's try this.
Today, I went to print a document. I print a contract, and it worked. And I was like, holy F, that happened.
What I was told by the guy at Office Depot the other day, because I finally just said, screw it, I'm just going to go get a new printer.
Yes, that's what you do. You never get it fixed. You try 3 or 4 times, and then you call your kid over because they're more advanced than you are. They try, and then it doesn't work, and then you throw it in the trash, and you go buy a new one.
Well, first of all, they're not that expensive.
No.
Like, we don't need a lot. Like, no. We don't need, like, these big, high-end, fancy printers. Mine was, like, $125.
Yes, most are.
And it is life-changingly better, this one.
Yeah.
And it's not even that great, But the difference is the old ones, like you're talking about, that have the problems, the ink cartridges, like, you know how it's always saying it has to align?
Yes.
It never effing aligns.
No.
And this is why...
And you don't know how to align it.
And you don't know how to align it. And this is why you keep most people just go out and keep buying cartridges. It's like, well, it's got to be the cartridge. That's the only thing I know how to replace. And it's not that. It's the alignment. Now they make all of that stuff in one. So it comes in the cartridge so that it's all... They're much more... what would be the word? You can troubleshoot them way better.
User friendly?
Way better, yes. And we've used this printer. I mean, we just basic stuff, but yeah. it hasn't had any problems yet. And so I think it's the old school printers. And most people just don't replace them if they don't need something.
But mine's like a year old. I bought mine, and here's the thing: I've had it for a year. I think it's worked properly.
Is it the new style though?
I don't know. It's got like, it's a Brothers, right?
I think
that's the brand. And like, I don't know. It's got a copier on it. You can copy, you know, like one page, and it's a color printer. It's supposed to be Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi never works on it ever. And so I always have to end up connecting the damn cord, which means I have to pick up the printer and move it closer to the computer in order to plug it in. The paper thing, you're right, the paper never aligns properly. It's always jamming, or it tells me that there is no paper in it when I just put paper in it. And I swear to God, I don't print anything, and yet I go through ink like I'm printing the Oregonian. And this is probably my fourth printer I've had. I'll bet you I buy a new printer at least every, I'm going to say, 16 to 18 months.
Oh, wow. See, we had an old one forever, and it never worked. And it, like you're saying, it's like just one problem after the other.
Yeah.
I finally just broke down and bought a new one, and it's been fantastic.
No, my kids mostly use it for school. And so I come home, and they're like, the printer's not working. And I'm like, what do you want me to do about it? I don't know. And then I sit there and dink around with it for 5 minutes, end up calling a customer service hotline. It makes me want to punch that lady in the face, so that doesn't end up working. And then inevitably, you're just like, let's unplug it and plug it back in and see if that works. And if it doesn't, then you end up buying a new one. And it's the only piece of technology that I hold to such a low standard. Everything else, I demand that it works 99% of the time. The printer, you give me a 30% operational thing, and I'm ecstatic with it.
Yeah, the printer, it's not even 30%. It's like, when it works, it's a miracle. You're like, oh, my God.
This is great.
Now, and you don't know how it worked, because the last time it didn't.
No.
So you're like, wait, how did it work this time?
Exactly. I tried printing something a week ago, didn't work, gave up, and to Mike's point, I went and printed it at work. Haven't touched it since. Came home today, or woke up this morning, had to print something, and I was like, well, let's give this a whirl, and sure enough, it worked. Nothing changed. I did nothing to the printer between now and then, and yet it miraculously worked this time.
Well,
I believe that it's haunted, and there's just a ghost that decides when to F with me and when to cut me a break.
I just bought this HP like inkjet thing, and it's fantastic.
You're liking it, huh?
It's great.
Huh.
And the only reason I think it's great is because of my low standards of which you speak, right?
Yes.
Like, all I need you to do is not... I just need you to print the paper. It's a black and white piece of paper. Just effing print it.
Yeah, just work.
And do it wirelessly, all right, bitch? And it did. And when it does, it's like, oh, my God, this is the greatest printer ever.
Wi-Fi, it connects.
And apparently it prints photographs, and it scans, and I don't need any of that. All I need is... And I don't care.
Just work this one time.
I do think this is a great conversation, because most people use the printer for the most basic things, and 90% of the time it can't even get that right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm just printing out a boarding pass, you idiot.
Exactly.
Come on.
Like you go to click the print now, and you hold your breath. You're like, please, please. And you hear it rolling. You hear all the art. Like you're going to go download some 90s porn on AOL. Like
the are you logging into AOL right there, Rob?
It's going through it, and you're like, please, God. And when that paper starts to come out with ink on it, you're like, holy jeez, it worked. It's a miracle. I don't know why that piece of technology is so much crappier than every other piece of technology that we have.
Yeah. All right, text the Better You Today. Text line 55305. It is 6:34. Here's Mike.
Well, believe me, I could talk anybody into anything, except women into sex. That's the only thing I can't do.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
All right, I have a family of four-pack of tickets to Session 4 of the Les Schwab Invitational presented by Express Employment Professionals at Liberty High School Thursday, December 27th. Tickets available.
That is mouthful.
Tickets available at lesschwabinvitational.com. Call right now. I'll give them to the first caller at 503-250-1080. 503-250-1080. Again, tickets for the Les Schwab Invitational available at lesschwabinvitational.com. Here's a text that says, after attempting to print off three pages of documents unsuccessfully a number of times, it started printing 45 minutes later and gave me 25 sets of three.
Oh, yeah. That's happened too, right?
That's about right.
You click on it 19 different times, it doesn't work, and then like at 3 in the morning, you hear it going. You go downstairs, you got a phone book that you printed for no real reason.
Somebody else said, if you're still printing your boarding passes, you're the idiot. Well, I don't know about idiot, but yeah, a lot of people are texting saying they don't print much of anything anymore. Like, you know, like the mortgage guys,
sure.
It's all electronic, which I totally get that. But every once in a while,
you have to print something.
You do have to print something. You got to sign stuff. Or
I'm not saying that.
I mean, you can do a lot of it electronically, but sometimes you're dealing with an entity that doesn't allow for that or whatever, and you have to print it off and
like,
scan
again,
it back.
Kids at school, they use it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, and this is my point. I don't use it that often. If I did use it every day, there's no way I would accept this, right? But it feels like it's one of those things that doesn't happen all the time. You don't need to print something. But when you do, my God, it'd be nice to know that if I have to print something, I can.
Yeah.
Like, if I know I do have to print something, it's like this feeling of dread. You're like, well, let's flip a coin and see if this is going to work today. And there's nothing else in my house that's like that. I don't go out to my car and be like, well,
coin flip.
I hope it's going to start. And there's things that you don't use every day. Like I don't use my lawnmower every day or during the winter or whatever, or a yard tool or a chainsaw. And it's not like I go out there and I'm like, fingers crossed, it's going to start this time. You expect it to start. The printer? Dicey at best.
Now, what TV show is coming back? I'm dying to know, and you're leaving, and so I need to know.
Now, I kind of...
Like, it has to be right now.
I know. I kind of want to stretch this out.
Write me out.
And not tell you.
What is it?
What TV show is
coming
back?
I'll look it up, but I've been excited to hear from you.
I don't think you can find it.
Okay,
I think if you just looked up TV show coming back, I'm not so certain that you do find it. And now I don't really want to tell you. We can talk about...
You're such a child.
We can talk... That's true. We can talk about white people not being cool anymore.
He's going to hold this over you and not be here for another 3 weeks.
Whatever.
You'll never know.
Fine, I don't care.
And by then, maybe you'll find out what's coming back. But I guess I read an article. There's a huge trend of people now. And I mean huge. They just said that it's becoming commonplace to where, like, people at schools and workplaces are having to address this, where white people are trying to pretend to not be white anymore. And they're going to extreme measures in order to look ethnic. And then that isn't necessarily the problem. It's that they're trying to get benefits off of that. They're actually like putting down on resumes or on documents that they are of a different ethnic background simply because they're undergoing procedures to appear not white anymore. And the whole point of the article was beauty standards and social norms, it's becoming not cool anymore or viewed as attractive to just be white, and that we may for the first time have a generation of kids that don't want to be white. And it's always been the other way around.
Oh, I know what show is coming back.
That's such a bad thing. A True Detective.
No, that's
no, not I know it. What Suk's talking about.
What is it?
The Celebrity Deathmatch on MTV.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love me
the claymation celebrity show.
Oh yeah, yeah, that show.
I loved me some Celebrity
Deathmatch. I mean, who didn't?
That thing
was so gory.
I know. And now I went back and I when I found out that it was coming back, I YouTubed some of the old clips, and they had the old boxing judge Mills Lane, and he was in there, and like there was like the Spice Girls were fighting some other girl band, and like NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys fighting. It's simply fantastic.
It appears Ice Cube is behind that.
Yeah. So Ice Cube is bringing back the 3-on-3, and now
the Celebrity Deathmatch.
I remember seeing it, but I never really watched it.
Oh, when I was growing up, Celebrity Deathmatch was one of those. It was like a guilty pleasure. You came home from school, sat down on the couch, flipped on MTV, and gave me some Celebrity Deathmatch.
So, what match?
It was
would
on
you...
at 3 in the afternoon.
Celebrity Deathmatch seemed like.
That was on at like 11 at night when I was growing up.
I feel like Celebrity Deathmatch was on all the time. Like, MTV only had like 3 programs, right? They had like The Real World. And then you had, like, some sort of spring break slut program, and then you had Celebrity Deathmatch.
I love those spring break slut programs.
Yeah. Like, back when MTV
Girls Gone Wild light.
That's all it was, right? And none of it was real, but damn it, you convinced yourself that MTV spring break was the greatest thing of all time.
So what match would you like to see?
What current Celebrity Deathmatch?
Yeah.
I think you could have some pretty good hashtag Me Too ones. You could have like Matt Lauer or Louis C.K. thrown in there. I bet you could get pretty creative with some of those things.
Probably see a Donnie versus a Hillary.
Oh, yeah. Trump basically versus anyone. Yeah. Trump versus everyone he hates, which is like 90% of the people. Like a Trump-Putin sort of thing could be pretty good. I mean, that's kind of the beauty part of it is that it was really good. You could do some really good political and social like satire in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know who, like...
Does that fly these days? Do you think people are going to get behind it like they used to?
Will it be on MTV?
Yes, I believe so.
I haven't watched MTV in 15 years.
Well, they're 15.
Maybe 10.
Go back. Well, I mean, Jersey Shore, right? That may be the last thing that I ever watched on MTV. And that was MTV, right?
It was MTV.
It was?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was MTV. Cab's here! Jersey Shore was...
Is MTV still, like, a thing with young people?
They have a lot of those trashy reality shows still.
Is Catfish on MTV?
Yes.
I've watched Catfish. That's a... And I think that's still going on. Either that or they just show reruns. But if you're sitting around on a Saturday and there's nothing else going on and you want to feel better about your life, flip on Catfish.
I don't know. Those always make me feel depressed.
Do they?
Yeah. I mean, like, I know my life is not that, but it's still, like, that's really sad. That someone got screwed with like that, you know?
I never feel sad. I just, my general feeling is, who are these people? Like, how?
They're just real people getting tricked by people who are pretending not to be real people.
But they seem really dumb. Like, I get, like, some of the catfish that I've seen, like, they really go far into it, right? Like, and you're like, okay, maybe you can see that. You haven't known each other very long. But some of those, it's like they carry on like 2-year relationships. It's like, yeah, I've lived like an hour away from this person and I want to marry him and it's been 2 years and I've never seen him. Like that, you're dumb. And I don't feel bad for you.
Dumb or desperate? Desperate for love or attention. So you, even though they don't give you that, it's like, oh.
Sure, but I still...
I'll accept all these no pictures that you're sending.
There's a point where I don't feel sorry for you anymore. Where I generally think that you're just so stupid that I no longer have any sort of sympathy, because it is fascinating to me that happens. And you think about it, remember Manti Te'o? Think about that. That really happened. There needs to be a 30 for 30 on that. That cat,
Lene Kukua,
made up a girlfriend, and then like actually went on like national news, like on Heisman Trophy shows, and talked about her death and like made up a whole story behind. In light of the national championship, like coming up, like that really happened. One of the more bizarre sports stories you will ever see.
I can't find the MTV ratings, but I did find a story from 2015 that said they were literally plummeting every year.
Yeah, no one's watching that.
Well, that's what I was asking, is if the kids were still watching it. It's for young people, but
yeah.
Apparently not so much.
Well, Celebrity Deathmatch is coming back, and you bring back Celebrity Deathmatch, I will watch it. That will hook me.
All right, 6:48. John wraps it up next on The Fan.
6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic. Brought to you on The Fan by BizNet Insurance. Get the right insurance for your business, home, or auto. BizNet offers a number of national and regional carriers to choose from to maximize your coverage at the best value. Online at BISNETT.com.
All right, just a couple minutes left. Big Sook, your brother, is about to go on sabbatical, and I just counted it on my iCal.
Mm-hmm.
25 straight days without a show.
Wow.
How's that make you feel?
It keeps getting earlier every year. Like, I asked him today. I needed him to do me a favor, and I thought I had several more work days next week. And I said, when's your last show? And he's like, today? I'm like, today, it's the 7th of December. What? Yeah. Like, we're just migrating backwards. He'll leave at Thanksgiving next year, and you won't see him again.
Well, possible. We don't have a radiothon this year. Usually he bolts right after the radiothon, but that we're not having it this year, so therefore he's got extra.
Well, and remember,
you have extra days.
I was supposed to work Monday. Monday is not vacation for me.
No show Monday
because of the Seahawks. Yeah. And we got Christmas Eve. Normally we don't get that.
Right.
And so that is an extra vacation day. So right there, that's 2 days. So technically, my last day should have been like Tuesday, Wednesday.
And the 31st is the Ducks game.
Yes. Yeah. And so that doesn't count as a vacation either. So really, that's, you take that out of it, and I'm working most of next week. It just, circumstances happened this year.
This is a dangerous part of the year because he's not going anywhere either. So no. This just means he'll be around. And if he's around and I'm around, we could mix, and that's not good for anybody.
Yeah. I've already threatened Rob with a pop-in as well.
I would hate that for you two brothers.
Yeah, it's not good. And Rob, that's an idle threat. There's no way he's driving out to Rob Manor to pop in.
I know. He won't do it.
No.
No.
I'm really
not a chance.
Yeah. All right, well, you have a great night.
Well, unlike my brother,
weekend.
I will talk to you on Tuesday then?
Lynch and I will be here on Tuesday for sure.
All right. I'll talk to you then. Love you guys.
All right. Love your body, Larry. All right, well, have a good sabbatical.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, you too.
Merry Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Ramadan.
Happy Christmas to you.
Winter solstice.
Hope you get lots of great presents, because it's all about you.
Yeah, it is. It is all about me.
All right, no show Monday. We're back with Lynch and I Tuesday at 3 on The Fan. Good night.
Red chips of Spain. Red chips of Spain.
Don't bro me, please.